glad as night, so the light from the sun would not burn me on my bum when I shoot the moon.
Hill's got it, driven into the ground with a pulverizing tackle from Ambrose. Oh, I think the Bombers are going to go up with it here. Bombers and Rams.
Baby, you've been rolling solo, time to get down with the team. The grass is greener on that other side.
Welcome to the Windy Hill Windstock with me, The Solution, and joining me today is Fiona.
Oh, that's music to my ears. Welcome to the Windy Hill Windsock. Does that mean we're back?
We're back. Well, more specifically, I mean, we were back on Monday, of course, because you listened to the podcast. But this is Fiona's Forecast, episode one, second season. And you might remember, so okay, a couple of people were asking, why did we do this? This time last year, I think I was frustrated with your shitty mic.
Yep.
So I stole you one from my place of employment.
Yes.
A very good one.
Yep.
And we thought we'll test it, and then we thought we'll give a podcast a burl, and it sort of morphed into Fiona's Forecast.
It did, yeah. It was supposed to be just a test run of the sound, and I think you suggested, do you want to just chat footy? And then it actually came good. Whatever it was, you listened and it sounded okay.
Well, define good.
When we say good, you've got to remember our rating scale is, you know, shit and under, basically.
The audio was clear.
Yeah, the audio was clear. So that in itself was enough to just put it out, right?
Also, everyone could hear your waffle nice and clearly. That was the
yes,
good bit.
Yes, of course. Yeah, because I know how much they love listening to me. Not.
But anyway, so here we are a year later, and we're going to go again. So we've got, we don't have changes because it's obviously round one.
Team.
Well, it'll be the team. We'll have the sitting Joe and the smoking Joe. We might have the wild card, and then I don't know.
Have you got a sauna towel?
No, I'm not going to towel the sauna.
No, okay. Are you retiring that or just for this week?
I've got a couple of stories. I don't know if they're worthy yet.
Oh, right.
I might wait till we've got nothing else to talk about later in the season when we start going poorly.
Do you fear that? Oh, okay, right. Okay, so you're crystal balling there.
Yeah, I might save it for when we need distractions. But you have received, well, more correctly, apologies to listeners who submitted couch questions and they never got answered last year. Fiona admitted she hadn't actually gone in and checked them.
Yeah.
And you've got a backlog.
I did. So I scrolled. I went, instead of starting from the top, because they come in and then I stupidly start from the top instead of where the first one that came in. So the top is obviously the most recent. And so what I did, instead of clicking on the top one, I just did a big scroll, like a few scrolls of my hands, took me down to the list, and I just clicked on a few random ones. And I sent you through some of my favorite ones. So I said you could just hit me with any that you like.
Yeah.
So we'll do that.
There's a couple of good ones. So getting to the team. So we play Hawthorn on Saturday at the MCG at nearly the old-fashioned time of 2 o'clock.
Can you just, before we actually move on, I'm going to interject here. Could you explain to me why this is not on Saturday night? Why have I had to turn my life upside down, my work life, because we know it's all about me, to get to the game on Saturday when there's no game being played on Saturday night at the G? Why could they not have made this an evening game?
I don't know why they haven't checked in with your schedule. I really don't. But there is a
outrageous
evening game.
There is, but it's in Geelong. Who cares?
Yeah, and there's Gold Coast as well.
Yeah, but
Gold Coast is Adelaide for the Foxtel Pete.
Yeah, but they should have switched. Like, nighty's best. Hashtag night grand final. I'm on that bandwagon. I'm leading that bandwagon.
I disagree with you on both counts. I prefer the Saturday fixture. But I'm old school where you used to have six games of the 12 teams. You'd have six games all playing at the same time on a Saturday.
But is that because you like this spectacle of a day game, like in the day?
Or is it feels,
like, what are you basing your opinion on?
It feels traditional.
Okay.
I like the fact that it's done and dusted and you can still have an evening. And
okay, Grandpa.
Well, you can go out
on
the
trip. Well, you're going to go home and then pour your cup of tea and put your feet up, do you?
Well, I can go out and have an, I can go out in evening. Okay, I can go to the pub. I could have a nice day. I certainly prefer it to battling with Sunday evening, like coming out of Marvel and then realising that I have to trek all the way to Flinders Street, change platforms to get to Flinders Street to get my train back and getting home at like 10:30.
Yeah, but that's on a Sunday. Like, any game on a Sunday is, and definitely Sunday day game is better than the 4:40. But I'm talking, like, of a Saturday night, you got, like, it's just a bigger spectacle for me. It's a more enjoyable spectacle from my point of view of an evening. And I'm personally more relaxed of a night time.
Okay. Well, you work Saturday, so it's very different for you.
Yeah. But I was trying to put that bias aside and I was trying to just get to the point where I think a Saturday evening spectacle is much better anyway. And it creates it like everyone knows that when you go out, you dress up of a night time, you dress up more. It's a bit more special in my eyes. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay, moving on.
You're wearing a ball gown to an evening game? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm talking like when you go out in general. So I just think there's something a bit more grandiose about a night game. Anyway, okay, let's talk team.
I don't know if our supporters have a lot of grandiose about them, but
they're not showing it on Twitter at the moment. They're in frigging meltdown.
So apparently they're in meltdown about the team, which we'll talk about. So firstly, noteworthy that Sam Durham is playing his 50th game. So yep. Congratulations to Sam.
I think well done, Taz, on your getting him there. I know you had a big lot to do with it. So well done, Taz.
Yeah. She's his number one fan, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And then you look at the new players. Now, firstly, Hawthorn have a new player. He used to play for Essendon, who we spoke on the pod on Sunday. We will be having, along with the annual Herd of the Year and the Henham of the Year, we will be awarding a Judas of the Year.
Great.
Eligible players will be Orazio.
Well, there's one on my screen right now.
McKenna. Who's on your screen?
The first one you mentioned.
Well, I don't think...
I'm gagging. Aren't you questioning why every time you look at me right now, I'm gagging a little bit?
Is it because of Orazio?
Yeah.
I'm with you. There was some debate about whether he is a Judas. I'm unequivocal. He is a Judas.
Debate? By who? That's ridiculous. I'll just put this out, PSA. If anybody needs irrefutable proof or detailing that he is a Judas and not a upstanding member of society, they can give me a call and I will have a conversation with them. Or I can give them a few numbers of women who will happily take the call. So
Well, you always break stories. Can I, in his defence, does that make him any different from any other?
Probably not.
Many other
True, you're right. However, I will say that he was one that. Oh, will I say this on the pod? No, I better not say
that.
No, I can't because that might reveal my source a bit too much. Okay. I will just say that there are reasons I say that. And yes, all the AFL players will have that in common with him. However, there is one thing that sets him apart. And that's...
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
In this regard. Anyway.
Coming up to the pod. But anyway, I was just leading to the fact Massimo D'Ambrosio will not be eligible for the Judas of the Year award. He's not a Judas.
Why is that?
Well, I don't think we wanted to keep him, did we?
No, we did. We offered him a contract. And he actually is quoted, I'm not going to say verbatim because I can't quite remember his words, but he said, loyalty is very important to me, so it was difficult to leave Essendon. So he chose actively to leave.
Did he get but a better offer?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think we offered him one. They offered him a few.
Okay. Ooh, maybe.
I still don't. They promised him, a, you know, a spot, a guaranteed spot every week. We had him in the VFL, in and out of the team, sub. So, you know.
Or maybe he's on the bench for the Judas team.
I certainly think he's eligible for a nomination or two. However, I probably wouldn't be giving him a crowd anytime soon when the contenders are.
What if he was it a Ratio that did this? What if he kicks a goal and then kisses the badge?
That would give him the Judas of the week.
He'd get a vote.
He'd get the nomination for the week. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Okay, that's well, Judas watches. Okay.
Yeah.
Judas watches. You know what you need to do. The beauty about this award is Judas Watch is now expanded from just looking at tweets about Joe Danaher.
Yeah. There is an open field. The bad thing is, though, he's going to have a field day. Him and his mate Eamon down there, because all they've got to look out for is Matthew Guelphy, because for some reason Nick Hind didn't make the cut. I'm not quite sure how, but it is round one, so best I just reserve my say.
Okay, well, let's turn to the Essendon team. So I think this is, by the way, a big tick to the trades we made, because every single trade, every single player who we traded for is in the best or has made the team. So
and not making up numbers. First
pick. No, that's right.
Every one of them, maybe Dersma would be maybe last picked, but the other three, first picked.
Well, Dersma's on the bench. The others are all in the team. Big Ben's at fullback, of course. Goldstein in the ruck. With it's interesting, Sammy Draper emergency. That to me is a strange one, because I would have thought, look, if he's fit to play, he's in our best 22. But I guess presumably he's still working his way back to match fitness, as they say.
Correct. Quote unquote. Yeah. So he's set to play Box Hill on Saturday, which I believe is
exciting.
Playing at the same time or just after or the AFL game. So, yeah, it is a strange one to name him as emergency, but I don't know, like, what happens, for example, touch every bit of wood you have around you solution, but what happens if Goldstein does a tweak in the warm-up? So I think you gotta have a ruckman there just in case.
Yeah. So,
I will say on the I was very, very impressed with Jones's preseason game against Geelong. Best game he's played I've ever seen him play.
Yeah, so we needed you on the pod last week because nobody had seen any of the preseason games.
You're terrible. You people,
apart from the architect who saw like a half.
But are you outraged? Where's the outrage? See, you hone in when I say something negative, but the first positive thing I say about the guy, or the second positive thing.
No, I was going to say, what I said on the podcast is I didn't see the Geelong game, but Harry Jones appeared in the highlights. Like, I watched the highlights and he was prominent. And by all reports played well. So that's, I mean,
best game I've seen him play. He in that one game, I saw him earn his spot. I'm willing to say that. I saw him earn. He showed me exactly what I've been saying I want to see, or at least glimpses of it. He showed potency in his pressure. He showed urgency in his movement. I've always thought he reads the well. I've always said he reads the two things. He reads the play really well, and secondly, he's a fantastic teammate. So I'm actually very happy for him to be on cuddle patrol when Gresham kicks his first, if Todd Goldstein kicks his first. Happy for him to be down there and give out all the cuddles, because he's a great teammate in that regard. But he showed me glimpses of what I've been wanting to see from him. But now he needs to translate that into an AFL game. Now, whether he's given the decoy role like he was last year at the start of the year before he went out with injury. He played the decoy role and made space for Langford and Stringer. Who knows? He might be brought in the team to keep Sicily occupied.
I was going to ask, was his best work done up the ground by leading and getting on his bike?
Yeah. Marking was beautiful, yeah. But his pressure, it's the potency in and his desire to actually pressure and not just take his spot for granted. You mark my words, all those comments Brad Scott was saying about professional lifestyle, professional attitude, you know, he was saying that it takes one of the most interesting quotes I heard from Brad Scott in the off-season, or actually quite recently, is that AFL football is not for everyone. If you're worrying about your mates going out on benders every Friday, Saturday night, then AFL's not for you. And Harry Jones is one who needed to hear that. Amongst others, don't get me wrong, but I feel like something's clicked. Like it did with Draper, I feel like something's clicked. I hope. I'm basing that off one day. But
this is a true story. A mate of ours that grew up, when I grew up, one of our mates was very good at football. And this was back in the day of zones, and we happened to be in the Carlton zone. And he was invited down to Carlton to train. And at the time, it was Greg Williams and Reece Jones, I think, David Reece Jones, who, I don't know, you'd know Greg Williams.
I've heard of him. Yep.
David Reece Jones was also a really good player. He was kind of a tallish kind of, almost like a James Hurd in he could mark the ball, so but he could blow his feet, etc. But he used to just belt people. Oh. So just look up Reece Jones and Greg Williams. Actually, Reece Jones hit Greg Williams and knocked him out once when he was playing for Sydney. It was brilliant. But anyway, my mate was invited down to training, and he missed one training session because he came out with us drinking.
Oh. You ruined his AFL career.
He actually said, no, this is the funny thing. He actually said, they asked him, why didn't you make training? He said, I was out with my mates.
Oh.
But my mate was good.
Honesty.
So, a bit like, you know, the young bloke from Melbourne who keeps getting in trouble but then turned up at round one and looked really good. When you got talent, sometimes you're forgiven things. But anyway, one day they're training. And they're outside, they're Princess Park, but they're like in the parkland doing running or whatever. And we turned up and we're like calling, his name was Rob. Rob, we're going to the pub. Rob.
No.
We're like, come on, we're going to the pub. And he looked at Greg Williams and he followed us into the truck.
You ruined his career.
He came out with us.
300 gamer.
Yeah, now he has a very successful trucking business.
Was he cut the next day?
Of course he was.
Oh, my God.
Of course he was.
That's outrageous.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
God, it makes me tear up with laughter every time I hear it.
Laughter? Don't you feel guilty?
No.
I feel guilty.
But anyway.
Anyway.
I
just wanted to make that note on old Harry there. So do me proud, Harry, please.
Yeah. Look, so he's named on the bench from memory. Let me check. Yeah, he's on the bench. Along with Cox, Dersma, Guelphy, and Jai. Sammy Draper, as we mentioned, is emergency, as is somewhat controversially, Nick Hind and Levert. And it seems to me that a lot of the Twitter talk from what you were saying and some of the meltdowns were centred around why is Levert and Hind out or emergencies, and why are Heppel and Kelly in? Now, I don't know that Levert, I guess he plays a little bit taller than maybe his height, but I don't know he's done anything spectacular. I think Hind's unlucky. From what I saw of the preseason highlights, he looked pretty good.
Well, I'm basing it off of more than just the preseason. Laverty was not in good form, as we know. We spoke about
it. He had a mare last year.
So then he performs very, very terribly in the preseason games. So he is where he should be, and I'm really, really fucking proud of the club for not just selecting him on, you know, his name, not that he's a big name, but, you know, for selecting him just because. Mm. Now it's up to him to go to the VFL and push his way back into the team, push someone out, show that you belong in the team, show some fight.
And not do what he did last time he was in the VFL, which is, by all reports, have a bit of a sook.
That's right. That's exactly right. Hind, the one for me, is not only because he's in great form, but he just gives us something nobody else does. This team is quite slow on paper to me, and he is every 50-second thing he does is going to be an absolute nightmare, and it's going to lead you probably to two goals to the opposition. But outside of that, he offers something. He breaks lines, and he offers something that we don't have.
He's an expert.
He is, and he provides spark, and you know I love his little energy kind of pitter-patter feeding. I love that about him. It makes no sense to me. When Guelphy had a mare in the preseason games too, I didn't see that Guelphy did anything last year to earn his, you know, a walk-up spot. Yeah. So that one confuses me a little bit. I won't hear a bad word against Kelly. Nobody prepares, works harder. Nobody does. He absolutely destroyed Charlie Cameron and Isaac Heaney, who are two premier players in the competition. He's got to contend with Ginnivan. He could go on Watson. Like, I just boost.
Yeah.
People have recency bias. It's not his fault that Brad Scott put him on a wing late last year, because we, out of necessity, to try and trial players everywhere, and he didn't excel. Well, yeah, he's never played wing. But I'm sorry, you won't find a harder working player and with a harder edge. So I'll die on that hill.
Okay, so let's... Anyway, my opinion, there's some interesting decisions, but nothing too controversial for me.
Okay.
Like, I don't think there's anything that sticks out like a sore thumb and you say, why? But that's just my view. So moving to the sitting Joe and the smoking Joe. Now, just for any new listeners, what we try and do is predict who's going to have the best game, or not even necessarily the best game, but who's going to raise their level, maybe above what they normally do, and conversely, who's going to have a shocker and be below what they normally provide. Now, I'll go easy on you, Fiona. You can do the Smoking Joe.
Thank you.
Smoking Joe is about, you know, Smoking Joe. Remember who he is?
Yep.
Sitting Joe was named after
Judas.
Judas Danaher when he sat on the fence. Who is your Smoking Joe?
I'm going to give it to H. Jones.
Oh, I love it.
Yep. I want to see a carbon copy of what he did. I want to see him turn his defender inside out.
Well, can I just say...
with his work rate.
No, I love it. And to the haters that said that maybe, or might have indicated Fiona wasn't being balanced in her view of Jones, this disproves what you were saying there, because...
Absolutely. I only comment on what I see. People think it's harsh, but I will say... I know a little bit about football, and also I have an ear to the ground. So combine the two, and I think I'm pretty – a lot of the time – I'm wrong, obviously, a lot of the time, but I'm obviously right a lot of the time too. And I stand by every single thing I said about Jones. And anybody who thinks that you didn't see a different Jones 2 weeks ago is not watching footy that much, because it was a noticeable difference.
Well, I'm always wrong.
So make me proud, Harry.
Yeah, I'm always wrong, but I think he's got talent. We just need to see it.
Yeah.
And it's very important for that class. What is the class of 2022?
Was Jones in the same draft? No, Jones is in the same draft as Cox. That's the next draft,
I think he was, wasn't he? Wasn't he just later? A later pick?
Oh, was he really? Oh, God. They all seem to...
Hang on. I should check this.
They all seem to merge into one. I am super keen. We should give some love to Reed, Zach Reed. Every week we're gonna shout him out. And we're gonna say praise and say a prayer to the footy gods and the universe for keeping him safe and healthy. It's required. We have to take a moment's silence every week because no one is more important to the growth of this team than he.
He looked good. He looked good.
He looked beautiful. He looked beautiful.
Okay, right. I need to give a sitting Joe, don't I?
Yeah, who you got?
I'm hoping this sitting Joe that I send to this person becomes a Moz, and in fact the opposite. A bit like when I bet on a horse and I want it to win and it never does.
Mm.
I'm betting on this person to put in a stinker, and I'm hoping it guarantees they have a great game. Nick Cox.
Oh, okay.
Just even seeing him on the bench worries me a little bit because...
What do you mean? Why do you... Can I ask you why you wrote read into bench versus on the field so much? I don't even take notice.
I'll tell you why.
On the field?
No, in this specific instance, I'll tell you why. Because I worry they're going to use him as a pinch hitting, maybe coming on the wing, maybe slightly half forward, maybe slightly half back. Where's he going to play?
Well, let me put your mind at rest. That's exactly what they're going to do.
Well, that doesn't put my mind at rest.
You're worried they're going to do that, and I'm saying I'm putting your mind at rest, and I'm saying don't worry anymore. Yeah. That's exactly what's going
to
happen.
Well, what I wanted to see, well, and it still may happen, because of course, you're right in your basic premise. After 5 minutes, he could be on the field and staying in the one position. I was hoping maybe with particularly the outs, that maybe they just keep him down in the back line and just say, run at the ball, focus on your man. And I think he did a couple of good things last year in defence, in the VFL as well. I saw him play a game down there and looked okay. And so that's what I was kind of hoping they'd do. I'm hoping they'd give him one role and say, this is your job. Now, I don't know how smart he is, like above the shoulders. And sometimes... Let's face it, he's a footballer. So, you know, he hasn't given up a promising career in neuroscience to be there. Hopefully, just give him 2-3 things to focus on, because I reckon he's got oodles of talent. You don't play some of those early games he played in his first season and do some of the things he did, kicking both feet, reading the play, finding space. They're things that you can't necessarily teach.
Mm.
So he's got some God-given talents. I just hope he's not confused, is my point.
Oh, I'm under absolutely no doubt that he's confused. I think he's shown that he probably doesn't have the capacity, whether it's mind, body, telling body what to do, to play this roving, play-me-anywhere role. I think I would have been more than happy for him to play the Rids role. Give him the challenge. Say, use your skills. We're backing you in. These are your A, B, and C things to work on. He'll have Ridley could stand there next to him pre-game and coach him. I would have been happy for them to give him that role and settle him down there and just give him a bit of a challenge. Some would say that, you know, well, you're taking a weapon away from the wing, though. Well, I think we've got weapons on the wing, though. Dersma, Durham, Martin, you know, and so they're saying that they're going to rotate them all through the back line and through the wing, half forward, with Cox. So
yeah.
But I would have been happy for him for some mental relief, because think about – so which team meeting is he going to? He has to be across every team meeting because he doesn't have one spot. He has to hold the play for every team line in his head. That's a lot for a young player.
Yeah. Look, there's early developers and then some players are late bloomers, and we're very quick to write people off. I mean, maybe...
I'm not writing them off. I just think he deserves the right to just
have. Yeah.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
But maybe it could be circumstantial too. I mean, what they've got, Hawthorn have Mitch Lewis, who's a big guy.
Their forward line is their most potent line. Their back line, they're screwed, absolutely screwed.
Yeah.
The key to beating them is to pressure them. That's it. Because without when they lose the ball, they are not good at getting it back. So if we can just pressure them and keep it in our forward line, aside from Sicily, they are very, very weak down there.
But they're not tall either. Like if you look at Lewis, and then you've got Hardwick and Ginnivan named either side of him. So there's no tall.
There's no monster. By, yeah, there's no 2 meter Peter. Yeah. Actually, I have seen a bit of. I'm a plus A1 2 meter Peter fan, as we all know. But I have seen a bit of heat coming his way. I'm not sure. I haven't decided if I think that's fair yet. My gut is telling me it's not fair and that it's more got to do with the delivery to him. Basing this off the last half of last year and his preseason games. But yeah, what's your view on him?
I'm not going to make any judgments until we're five rounds in.
On him or in general?
Yeah on him. Just like big guys. Big guys need time in their careers to develop. So a 24, 25-year-old tall player might be 2 years away from even showing near his best, whereas if you're a midfielder, you better be good at 22.
I reckon 27, 28, he'll hit his peak.
Yeah, and I think similarly, even in a season, big guys sometimes need time, particularly like right with his – I don't know how fit he was at any point last year. You know, you don't lose that talent. I mean, we saw it 2 years ago. You do not lose that. A little bit like what I was saying with Nick Cox. Once you've seen a guy's ceiling, you know how good he can be. I think with Wright, it's a confidence thing.
Yeah, and I agree. It's a confidence thing when he's taking the half marks. That's not skill. That's confidence.
Yeah.
Half marks means he's got the mark and something clicks in his head, the little gremlin on his shoulder goes boo and he drops it. That's all confidence.
Agreed. Yeah. But anyway, so that's the sitting Joe and smoking Joe. Anything else about the game? God, we can talk for a long time, can't we?
Well, this is the first step. So we should have prefaced that this is going to be a long one. Come on.
Yeah,
surely people won't mind. They've been without, or they might mind. They might have enjoyed the break from this.
No. Well, if they didn't enjoy it, they would have switched off by now. So we'll just wrap it on as long as we want. Any other thoughts on the players? We will get the final score prediction at the end.
The players, no. Look, I'm a little... I will say the one thing I took, you want to know the thing I took the most from the preseason games?
What?
Is the importance and the absolute imperativeness that Will Setterfield stay on the park this year. He was so, like, without being prolific, you know, in terms of his touches and his own statistics, the way he mama bed Parrish and Merritt, it was just a sight to behold. He was like a mama bear protecting her baby bear. Albeit Parrish did...
Someone's been sleeping in my bed.
Yeah. Albeit it to the point where Parrish actually shepherded him. Absolutely. Because he was shepherding the Geelong player from getting to Parrish. And Parrish didn't realise and shepherded him with one hand, used him to chew him away, not realizing it was him. But no, it was very, very obvious to me how important it is to have someone there acting as that mama bear to Merritt and to the good ball users and to the, you know, to start the chain and to have that bigger body in the middle. So
I think you're right. Just slide aside too. What's your opinion on the value that Goldstein is going to bring? So in the pod, there'll be a handy acquisition. Jez jumped down my throat and said, well, I don't think he's going to be a star. And I said, well, I didn't say he's going to be a star, but I think he'll be, I think he'll be handy. What do you...
Oh, I think he'll be fantastic. I think he's, speaking of work, right, he'll work until he bleeds. He'll run and he'll tap. He'll be incredible for the midfielders. I don't think we should put too much pressure on it yet because the chemistry still needs to build in that department. That goes for any of the recruits. We have to give a bit of gear. You know, people don't like to hear patience, but unfortunately, this is logical. There is a logical element to this.
Can I touch? I agree with you. Can I touch on the word patience?
Sure can.
So there's a lot of talk. Obviously, I think
Scott, I'm going to mute that fucking word on Twitter. I've heard enough.
You know where I'm going, yeah? So Scott gave a fairly in-depth and considered interview, which I kind of skimmed over. But the sense I got was what he was saying is he's not here just for short term to get like a short term
fix,
jot in the arm, short term fix. You know, take a little bit of ice and party for 3 days, only to go home and stab your family. We're not interested in that. What he wants to build is sustainable success. And then the headline was about, well, Scott has an 8-year plan.
Oh, my God.
And then the responses, which were along the lines of, hey, fuck this. We've been waiting all these years. We don't have 8 years to wait. Yeah. I need success now. We don't accept this. We've got standards, blah, blah, blah. Look, can I just for anybody who's new here, that doesn't know how this shit works. This is not like the mid-2000s in the Premier League where Saudi Arabia United Arab Emirates can come in, buy Man City, buy all the best players and buy success. This is AFL football. We have a draft. This list has legacy issues. This club has legacy problems that need to be worked through. They go right from recruitment all the way up to the way coterie groups operate, the way the administration has operated. You know, there is a lot wrong with this club that needs fixing. Just because you want instant success, guess what, buddy? You're not going to get it.
As Brad Scott, no one is owed anything in AFL football. You are owed the absolute audacity for some supporters to think that they're owed. Who is holding a gun to your head and making you buy your membership every year? Is there someone? Tell me, because I will make a phone call to the authorities if someone from the Essendon Football Club is holding a gun to your head and making you buy your membership. You are owed nothing.
Listeners, Fiona has Southern Italian roots. She can make phone calls.
Exactly. I have connections, okay? But so, I will help you if that's what's happening.
Yeah. But there's lots of things I want in life.
Yeah.
I wanted to win that $90 million Powerball. Yeah. Guess what? I didn't do it.
Audacity to think you're owed something from...
Or just that there's an easy fix. Like,
and just because put up or shut up now, you can't put the failings of 20 years ago on this new group of recruits and players.
Thank you.
They don't hold the history and the failings of the what you said, the aforementioned groups. You have to give them all Brad Scott for that.
That's right, exactly what I was about to say. Yeah. Mm. You cannot.
For once, Brad Scott, you know, someone's come in and is actually saying the hard truths, you know, but nobody wants to hear them.
Yep. And I find it so fantastic and refreshing. And this is why I'm prepared to ride what I think will be a very rocky year, because we went through the draw during our podcast, and I think we're going to turn at the bye with a negative record easily. But I'm prepared to ride this out, because here's a guy who's not worried about keeping his job. I actually don't think Brad Scott is coaching to not get sacked.
No.
Or to get sneak into the eight he's talking about building a successful club that's sustainably successful, and it probably will take 8 years, because by the time you draft well, it's going to take that amount of time for those players to come to fruition anyway and meet their...
I'm not sure of the IQ of the average Essendon supporter, but it's not that hard to find evidence to back up everything he's saying, because he did this at North. And he had a worse list, and he took them to prelims, and he had a worse list. But he didn't walk in the door and then after 2 years, because the membership stamped their feet and said, I deserve success. Like, I deserve a finals win.
Yep.
Fuck you. You deserve nothing.
Well, but what if you hang around and wait? And I will say, and this might be slightly contradictory, I'm not dismissing anyone's pain in the last 20-odd years. I know. We've all been in the trenches. We've been bloody podcasting this whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what it's like dialing in for a podcast on Sunday night to talk about a team that's been shit?
Not just shit, but embarrassed the living day out of... It made you embarrassed to be a supporter. Like, we feel the pain. We want as much... You don't bleed any more than we do.
Yep.
But... I just feel like there has to be a little bit of logic to it.
I agree. A bit of logic, a bit of balance. And also, by the way, don't just read the headline and start ranting without actually reading the article. Because I think if most people read the article, they'd say, okay, well, actually, I agree with everything.
He was completely taken out of context. He was more talking about the group of core players being at this perfect age. Mackay, you've got your spine, perfect age. Mackay up one end, 2 metre Peter down the other end, Draper in the middle, all in the perfect age demographic. That's what he was talking about. And then adding your Cox, your Reed, and your Perkins, who were all going to play for 8 years. Together. That's what he meant. Not we're going to win a premiership in 8 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's just sensationalist rubbish, honestly.
Correct.
But we digress.
Yeah, shall we go to the couch before we give the...
No, where's the wild card?
Oh, have you got a wild card?
No, you provide the wild card.
Do I?
Have you forgotten?
Yeah, I'd forgotten about
If you wanted me to do it, you should have told me to prepare.
I don't prepare anything.
No, you don't.
I'm going to make it up.
You're usually pretty good with your memory. I will give you that. So I'm surprised you've forgotten.
I'm going to make it up right now. I think the wild card will be...
You usually resort to the weather. So you could go with that, because it is going to be hot. It's going to be 30, which I'm not looking forward to. I don't like the heat.
Yeah, it is going to be a hot...
Excuse and my seats are sun facing at the G, so sunstroke. I will be making friends with you come Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, no, I don't think the heat is to blame. I think the wild card is actually, I'm going to say it is 2 metre Peter, and our ability to get marks inside 50. Whether that happens or not could. I reckon we look a bit tall down back, and as per in the forward line, I do think we look a little bit like Harry Jones doesn't crash packs and take pack marks. Other than 2 metre, who's gonna actually like take a contested mark?
Well, Langford is good on the mark. He's a
Langford's
good mark.
Great 1-on-1, and he's a great lead. We've got a lot of lead up forwards.
So, what's your wild card question? Sorry.
My wild card is just, can 2 metre Pete? 2 metre Peter is kind of dovetailing into the conversation we had earlier about the sort of 2 metre we're going to get.
Yeah.
What 2 metre Peter we get round one will determine whether we have a really hairy, ugly game where maybe we get over the line, or maybe even like Winsock 2000 predicted it as a danger game, or we have a comfortable 40-point win and actually look a lot better than Hawthorn. So it's like he's the wild card.
But the wild card is a question.
What? What do you mean?
You usually provide me with a question. Oh, wow. You're going to have to cut this part
out.
No,
the wild card is like the weather or the umpiring.
Yeah, but you always pose it as a question. Yeah, but you always pose it as a, it's a wild card question.
Do I?
Yes. You need to go, A, you need to go and re-listen, and B, you need to prepare.
No, I think a wild card is really just the thing that could break the game.
Well, then you've been naming it wrong for all of last year.
No, well, they're normally external things. They're not players. They're normally like umpires. They're like.
But it's always in the form of a question. Anyway, you need to cut this bit out.
I'm not cutting shit.
This is rubbish.
I've resolved to do two things in podcasting land this year. Because you know what? One of the things I've noticed is no matter what we do, we get the same amount of listens every week. Although we did start to blow up with when we got on the podcast, back on the podcast apps last year. But two things I'm doing. One, I'm drinking wine on every podcast. I've made that as a promise.
In
the last podcast. That's a resolution I can keep. And B, I'm doing zero editing. I'm not editing shit.
You didn't do any editing last year, to be fair.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
So this is a carry-on. That's a carry-on carry-on promise, is it?
Yeah, that's right. So anyway.
Well, then you must vow for next week's Fiona's forecast to do better and to do some homework on the wildcard question.
Oh, sorry, I've got three promises. I'm never doing homework. Never have, never will. All right, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get to the prediction, I've got some interesting questions here. What should I
pick? Predictions first. We always end. Oh, this is a shock.
Okay, if you want to know.
This is a disaster, listeners. We haven't done a Fiona's forecast for what? Five months?
We're a bit rusty.
This is amateur at best. I mean, we are amateurs.
In a schmozzle? Is that what you're going to
say? In a fit taco or something like that. I don't know.
We can do a prediction first. Go.
But the prediction's always first. This is what I'm saying. What are you drinking? What is spiked in this wine that you're having tonight?
I don't know that it's that material to the output of the podcast or the quality, but what's your prediction? Go.
My prediction is 42 points, Bombers.
I'm a bit rattled.
You're not going to
by our preseason. No,
that you didn't watch.
No, yeah, but even seeing that, I'll tell you what, I didn't have to watch the game. Just watch it.
How is one rattled by something they did not see?
Watching Twitter against the St Kilda game, and I said this again on the podcast earlier this week as well. The classic pre-season Essendon arc happened exactly to the letter of the playbook. It was win trade week. Get really excited over pre-season. Lots of talk, lots of videos of how good we looked playing each other, playing ourselves. And then come the first pre-season, everyone's hopes are up. They're all going down to godforsaken Seaford or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Risking getting stabbed and coming back to their car with it being up on blocks, only to see us get slaughtered. And watching the commentary on Twitter was just so funny. But I'm a little bit rattled by how poor we were. And I know we looked okay against Geelong, and they probably should have, you know, on the scoreboard, battered us a bit more because they missed some shots. But I'm going Essendon 13 points. And I don't think we'll quite streak away like we should.
I will say this. If we can't cover the likes of Darcy Parrish and Draper against this Hawthorn team, and by no means am I sleeping on Hawthorn, because I think they've, throughout this year, they're going to beat some teams they shouldn't, and they're going to lose to teams that they probably should. But so I'm not sleeping on Hawthorn, but I think if, and again, this is not going against anything Brad Scott has said about patience, but I think if we need to show some seriousness, we need to be, because there's just one way forward against this team, this Hawks team. It is undermanned, and it's very clear. Their strengths and their weaknesses are very clear. The way to beat them is to pressure them out of their confident kicking and their handball, run and carry. Their backs and their mids have the license to run and carry, and they're confident when they do it. But when they're pressured, they really struggle on turnover to get it back. So if you can pressure it into your forward line and keep that, you know, from the centre bounce, you know, Redmond and Pally and Hips just, you know, winging at that centre, at the centre, halfway through the, on the field, just hanging back there and rebounding everything that they try and get out, it's a very easy way, not easy, but it's an easy plan to beat the Hawks. So I think that's a long-winded way of saying if we're serious about improvement, big or small this year, we need to be beating this Hawthorn team.
Yeah. If we don't, can you imagine the meltdown?
Yeah, I think I'm going to preface and say I'll have a bit of internal meltdown. I'll definitely think that there's nothing Brad Scott could say to make me feel better, definitely, if we don't. I won't throw the toys out of the cot. I won't pull the
baby out with the bathwater.
Yeah, I won't call the season. I won't declare it a failed season. I won't say we're not going to make finals because of it, but I definitely will maybe readjust my expectations.
Yeah, my expectations are low, but even those low expectations will be rattled if we lose to Hawthorn.
Only because they're incredibly undermanned in their back line.
Yeah.
And on paper, we have weapons down there. Peter is a weapon. Langford is a weapon. Stringer is a weapon. Now Gresham is a weapon. So by rights. But again, that falls on the mids getting it in there. Mids and backs getting it into the forward line.
All right. So you've gone with 42 points.
I have.
I've gone with 13. Whoever's closest gets a point.
Yeah.
So at the end of the year, we'll work out who was the supreme predictor.
Which you clearly won last year by a very long way. You absolutely nailed the predictions.
I was Nostra fucking Damus last year.
Yeah, you were.
We'll
I was good on the smoking. Was it the smoking or the sitting Joes?
You were good on both Joes. You had Joes down pat. Yeah, I didn't do well on Joes, but I definitely did well on
Yeah, you were.
On the tips. Yeah,
you didn't drop many. You did not.
But my natural pessimism fed into our poor end of the year.
That's true.
But anyway. All right. Fiona's couch. Shall we do one?
Let's go. Hit me with one.
To all the listeners out there, what we like to do.
Final segment.
Towards the end of the podcast, just before we give, you know, our tips for who's going to win the game, we would.
You're a shithead. This is the final segment. We close the podcast off.
I don't know, man. I'll have to go back and check. Please anyway, what we do is a non-football, we have a Fiona's couch, which is Fiona's shown a real propensity to be able to give advice to people. And so what we ask people to do is submit their questions. And you've done it. Your backlog came from what's the app called again?
Oh, NGL. So stands for obviously Not Gonna Lie.
Not Gonna Lie. Yeah.
I'm going to repost the link as well.
Yeah.
But any new ones appreciated.
Yeah, you can always just direct message me on Twitter.
Just
at the front of the message say it's question for the couch. But I'm going to go with, so you give me a few to go. I'm going to go with this one here. You ready?
Hit me.
I think I have a ghost following me. What do I do? Now, you know the worst bit? This person might have sent this 2 years ago. and you've ignored them. Their feelings for their mortal existence.
I was and dying.
They were hoping to have the problem solved, and they've been waiting. So.
Whoever said that, I've had a very stressful week, and that just cheered me up so much. I was in tears. I don't know why, but that just made me laugh a lot. My first instinct that just hit me was to say, do you have any sage? The first thing I would do is I'd get out my, like, bucket.
That's not the first instinct. You know what my first instinct was?
Oh, no. What?
Do you have a history of schizophrenia in your family?
Is the ghost talking to you?
Yeah.
No. I'd love to know. If you're happy to, you can stay anonymous. That's why the NGL app is good, because you're anonymous. I don't see who sends the messages, so you can stay completely anonymous. I would love for you to just give me a follow-up. I want to know who do you think is the ghost taking on a person? Like, is it a family member, or is it just a white sheet that you feel like it's following you around? I would get out all the buckets of sage and just light it on fire. Light the buckets
what
on fire.
What does sage do?
Sage is very cleansing. It notoriously cleanses your environment, and spiritually speaking, it clears any heavy energies, any heaviness, any spirits that are hanging on to your environment. So typically when you move into a new home, you should do this. You should get somebody to come in and sage, or you should sage it yourself, just to clear out any, you know, heaviness that was left behind from other people who lived there's energies that's creeped into the walls or the corners. And you go behind the corners, behind your bed, under your bed, where energy can lie and can get stuck. Because from a more, on a more serious note, if you feel like it's an energy that's a heaviness that's following you, and that not so much a white sheet that's following you around, but like an energy, I would, if you haven't, I would delve into meditation, and I would just ask whichever higher spirit or self that you, whether it's God, whether it's whoever you believe in, whatever higher spirit that you believe in, if there is one, I would just ask for some. You're smirking at me like you're.
I'm not.
I'm talking absolute crap.
Honestly, I was looking at the time and thinking this podcast is like we could talk underwater for hours, you and me.
That's what a podcast is.
Correct. I wanted to ask you. So you obviously believe in ghosts.
No, I believe in energy. Absolutely, I believe in energy. I don't believe that there's a ghost standing on my bed that I'm going to see my grandfather. Don't believe in that. But I absolutely believe in energies. Absolutely, without fail. It proves me right time and time again. I can walk into a room without fail. So I'll go to a party or an event, and then the friend of the event will call me the next day to chat, and I'll tell her that person I met was really a bit weird and a bit off, and I could tell that. And she's like, how are you even knowing this? There were 100 people there. I can tell because I can feel it. I can feel everybody has an energy. Everybody is made up of some people will call it body language, reading people's body language or their attitude or things they say. I call it reading the energy. It's like a stink that people give off.
Yeah, I'm kind of agnostic. I'm not sure. I reckon 99.999% of stories are bullshit. But it only takes one story to be true. And then
what story? About somebody seeing a ghost?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
right.
Oh yeah. I see. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe this person said ghost. So I'm gonna go out on a limb and say they think that there's a ghost following them. I would. Okay. Step one: get your sage out and just and sage your home, your living space. Step two: I would Google a meditation for clearing energy, and I would do that meditation every night for, let's say, a week, specifically asking the, in your case, ghost or energy to leave your space. Because some people believe that, like, a series of bad luck, putting it down to a ghost who has been, like, that they just can't, it can't be a coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it just, to the point where it can't be a coincidence. And I personally don't believe in coincidences. So, and the third step would be to acknowledge, my third result would be acknowledge the ghost. Acknowledge its presence, because sometimes the energy or the ghost or the spirit, whatever you believe in, just wants to be seen so it can leave.
Okay. And fourthly, sorry, it's taken Fiona like 8 months.
Oh my God. If you're in
your crisis, time of crisis.
If you're in an asylum because I couldn't help you with this ghost, I'm so fucking sorry. I can only say that I run a business and I have a life, and I have a life. That sounds bad. I mean, like, I don't have much spare time to just peruse the apps, but I'm so sorry. And feel free to message again if you need some more advice on the ghost. But I'm sorry, and I hope it's a friendly ghost.
This person hasn't slept for 6 months, but anyway, that's okay.
Oh, damn. Thanks.
All right. Well, on that note, that wraps up week one of Fiona's forecast season two. Oh, just a little bit of housekeeping. So remember we did that intro, new intro.
Oh my God, the intro!
Yeah. So we've got the intro. I can't find the outro.
Oh my God! Anyway, you were going to say you couldn't find the intro. I was about to have a heart attack.
No. So listeners, obviously, if they've listened to this, they would have heard the intro.
Oh my
can't
God.
Find the outro, but I might even, if I can find it,
make a new one.
Well, yeah, but because
it wasn't great.
I want to put this. Oh, great. Okay, so how many? Me 7 hours.
Maybe it's because I'm comparing it to the intro, which is like elite.
What I might do is put up an old song of the week. In fact, I'm thinking if I can find it, just in keeping to the game coming up, I might. I did do a song about Essendon and Hawthorn at the MCG, which was to, what's that song? I Do All the Dumb Things.
I don't know any of your obscure songs.
I Do All the Dumb songs. Things by.
You use all these obscure songs. You need to update your repertoire. Okay. I will say that. We need to attract some younger listeners.
Okay, that'll work. my songs will do it. Anyway, to I Do All the Dumb Things by Paul Kelly. I wrote a song called I Caved Brad Sewell's face in, which is about Maddie Lloyd and his
many moons ago
running off the line. That's right. So
that should give you an idea of how long you've been doing this in pain.
Yeah, 100%. So anyway, that's I'll put that at the end. But yeah, thanks to everyone that listened. Something About Cake is the sponsor again after some heavy commercial discussions. Fiona's offered to. What's the code they use when they're
Winsock.
When they're ordering, just use the code Winsock.
Winsock.
When you order online, and you'll get extra, or anything you order will come with an extra pinch of love, and maybe some additional goodies. Possibly.
Thank you again to all the people who ordered through the pod last year. Much appreciated.
Yeah, and that Essendon, was it a 50th, that Essendon cake you posted, the last one?
Probably 60th? 50th?
Yeah. It really is unbelievable. Like, you think you might be able to put a bit of icing on a cake. This looked like, this was an absolute work of art, so you won't be disappointed.
That's very
nice. No, it was amazing. Amazing. So anyway, that's our sponsor, Something About Cake. Check it out. Thanks to everyone that listened, and we'll see you on the podcast on Monday.
Great to be back. See you guys.
See you guys.
Welcome, bombers, to my show. I'm Lloydy, I make that prick lie low. Sorcel's head down, I had a crack. Like a train coming, I put him on his back. In the middle, in the middle. in the middle of the G. I lost my shit, I smashed that prick. I Kate Bradsell's facing. Caught his shoulder, caught his head, caught him flush. I thought that prick was dead. Hawks were howling, made no sense. All my bombers rushed to my defense. In the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the G. I lost my shit, I smashed that prick. I Kate Bradsell's face in. Still got some medical advice. Had to spend 3 months with jaw in ice. I saw his head down, I had a crack. Like a train coming, I put him on his back. In the middle, in the middle, in the middle of the G. I lost my shit, I smashed that prick. I Kate Bradsell's facing. Convulsed like he was an OD ring. I Kate Bradsell's facing. He must have thought he was dying. I Kate Bradsell's facing. Campbell thought I was sniping. I Kate Bradsell's facing.